4,000 planets and spreading out.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
Danger, Will Robinson. Danger.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
To the Batmobiles.
May the force be with you.
Who is that masked man?
Avengers, assemble.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Fantastic Forum. I'm Ulysses E. Campbell. As always, we'll begin the show with some genre-related news. Yesterday, the Federal Aviation Administration issued a launch license for the first orbital test of the SpaceX Starship. Shortly following the issuance of the license, SpaceX tweeted that the first flight test of a fully integrated Starship, Ship 24, and Super Heavy booster rocket, Booster 7, from Starbase in Texas would be Monday, April 17th. The stacked vehicle, consisting of a Starship upper stage atop a Super Heavy booster, stands 394 feet tall and will be the most powerful rocket ever launched. Both the Starship and Super Heavy booster are designed to be totally reusable. If all goes according to plan, Booster 7 will splash down in the Gulf of Mexico about 20 miles off the Texas coast, approximately 8 minutes after liftoff. Ship 24, meanwhile, will continue flying, conducting a partial lap of Earth before descending in the Pacific Ocean near Hawaii. The 150-minute launch window opens Monday at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. You can watch the liftoff live at space.com when the time comes, courtesy of SpaceX. This week, DC announced the voice cast for its upcoming Creature Commandos animated series. Indira Varma will voice the show's main protagonist, the Bride of Frankenstein, a version of the classic horror character. Frank Grillo will play Rick Flagg Sr., the father of Joel Kinnaman's Rick Flagg Jr. from 2021's The Suicide Squad. David Harbour will voice Eric Frankenstein, a version of the classic monster and love interest for the bride. Zoe Chow will voice Nina Mazursky, an amphibious scientist. James Gunn will voice G.I. Robot, a military android. And Alan Tudyk will voice the radioactive Dr. Phosphorus. They will join Sean Gunn, who is reprising his role as Weasel from 2021's The Suicide Squad, and Viola Davis as Amanda Waller. Set to premiere in 2024, Creature Commandos is the first title in the new DC universe headed by DC Films co-chairs James Gunn and Peter Safran. At a press conference on Wednesday, Warner Brothers Discovery announced that they are renaming HBO Max. The flagship streaming service will be known as Max. The rebuilt Max is set to launch in the U.S. on May 23rd and will include content from Discovery Plus and other new original series. Warner Brothers Discovery also promises that Max will feature an average of over 40 titles and TV programs each month. Pricing for various tiers of service was also announced. Since the merger in April 2022, Warner Brothers Discovery has not provided HBO Max subscriber numbers, but the media company reported that it concluded 2022 with 96.1 million streaming customers worldwide, inclusive of HBO Max, Discovery Plus, and other services. Warner Brothers Discovery executives have said that they project the company to have 130 million global streaming subscribers by 2025, and that its direct-to-customer businesses will generate $1 billion in earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization. The Mandalorian moved to third place on the Nielsen Streaming Top 10 list with a 25% increase in viewership for the week of March 30th through the 19th. The increase pushed the show across the billion minutes threshold with 1.1 billion viewing minutes with the release of the third episode in season three. Star Trek Picard appeared in ninth place on the list for that week with 310 million viewing minutes after the release of season three, episode five. New trailers dropped this week for Marvel Studios' The Marvels and from Star Wars Celebration, Star Wars Visions Volume 2, as well as an in-production teaser for Matt Reeves' The Penguin starring Colin Farrell. You can view the trailers and teaser on one of the FF social media pages. And while you're there, if you haven't already, follow us on Instagram and Twitter. And like us on Facebook. We like to be followed and we love to be liked. The Marvels opens in theaters on November 10th. Star Wars Visions Volume 2 streams on Disney Plus starting on May 4th. And The Penguin streams on Max in 2024. An anniversary this week as April 9th marked 60 years since the Marvel Comics debut of Dr. Stephen Strange in the aptly named Strange Tales number 110. We're saddened to learn of the death earlier this week of Al Jaffe. The American cartoonist was the longest-running contributor to Mad Magazine, originated the Mad Fold-In, and had just celebrated his 102nd birthday last month. And Virginia Norwood passed away late last month. Affectionately referred to as the mother of Landsat, the American aerospace engineer, inventor, and physicist was best known for having invented the multispectral scanner used in the Landsat program. She was 96. And if you happen to be in the listening area, the Big Lick Comic-Con is this weekend at the Dulles Expo Center in Chantilly, Virginia. Among the comics guests are Mark Waid, Jim Shooter, Arthur Sweetum, Rick Leonardi, and Tim Seeley. There are also an array of voice talent and wrestling personalities, as well as other media guests. The show runs through Sunday, April 16th. You can get information via the website at blcnova.com. That's blcnova.com. Today, we're talking about some of these news items and more. Joining me are Roberto Ortiz, Camille Richardson, and Black Gorbachev, Philip Jean-Pierre. Everybody, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Glad to be here.
Hello.
Hey, well, Gorbachev, what happened with your country? Good God.
Now, he ain't Gorbachev, he's Black Gorbachev.
Ah,
dude.
Yeah, exactly. Technically, you know, he's dead, so he can't be held responsible.
Oh, no, he's very much alive.
Oh, if he was too...
What, Mikhail Gorbachev?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll take your word for it. I thought I had seen that he had died.
Let me check that right now.
I was going to say, we can't be giving out bad information here on the show.
I was about to say.
Yes. But, hey, while you're looking that up, a lot of interesting stuff that's happened this weekend, and particularly since we have Camille Richardson with us, I thought that, because we didn't get to fully explore a lot of the stuff from Star Wars Celebration that came out last weekend. But
You missed a big one.
Exactly.
Which big one? Oh, wait. What, is he still alive?
He's dead. He died last year.
Oh, what I thought.
But he lasted a long time, 2022. I mean, God, for a Russian, that's impressive.
He lasted longer than Brezhnev, Chernenko, Andropov.
Yep. Okay, so Star Wars.
Wait. Before we get to Star Wars, because like I said, there was some of that stuff that we talked about last week, but none of y'all run the show last week, and particularly, Camille.
That makes sense, because I was wondering why you didn't mention Ahsoka.
Exactly.
Well, let me tell you something. We did talk a little, like I said, we talked a little bit about that last week, but no, I had wanted to lead with... one of these trailers that dropped earlier this week. And I The Marvels is the one that I had wanted to mention because let me tell you something. I had so much fun with that trailer. I don't ordinarily watch these things, but once. But let me tell you something. The Marvels, I must have watched that trailer 3, 4, 5 times. It was Because
it was nice. It was very cute.
You know what drew me in, and I, you know, it's not that I want to be drawn in, but Ms. Marvel, that young woman who plays her, is
super charismatic. So
she really is, and
she sells it very well.
You know, and
I mean, she has so much love for the character herself.
Oh, tell me about it. You know, which makes for a really wonderful situation in terms of the fact that she's playing this character. But you know, where I was going with all of this was the way. I mean, and trailers are always so beautifully put together, and if they are correctly assembled, they make you want to see whatever the project is, regardless of however good or bad it ends up being. But so, so you have this setup, and what was it? It looked like, and I don't think they called it Sword, like from the comics, but you know, I always think of StarCore, you know, with Peter Corbeau and all that.
This is Sword.
But basically, space station, and here they are up there, and you know, of course. Here is
who paid for this, by the way. This, where did the money to build this space station come from?
You don't actually think they spend $300 for a hammer, $500 for a toilet seat, do you?
I know, because it's like they just say, "Well, we have a space. Oh, we have a space station now. Oh, wow."
I mean, it's just they do what they always do. The UN paid for it.
The UN paid for it. I love it. Well, no, but so you got Monica Rambeau, you know, who's in, you know, here's Nick Fury, and he's like, well, hey, well, Monica, what's going on? And, you know, sorry, Captain Rambeau, you know, and I love that, Captain Rambeau. It's like, I see what you're doing there. But she's like, yeah, I'm getting you some readings, Fury. And all of a sudden, like, she, like, uses her powers or whatever, and all of a sudden you hear this screaming, and this person is coming up, and you're like, wait, what in the hell? Hey, Monica Rambeau is losing her stuff like that, and you know, and then here's you know, Ms. Marvel, and she's like, oh my god, help, oh, Nick Fury, hi, you know, that was just, I was rolling with that scene. It's like, what in the hell is this? What's the setup here, you know? So anyway, but that's all I wanted to say.
I like the fact that they brought back her family. That's actually a nice detail to tie in directly to the show.
Her family is important to the thing, you know?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, yeah.
You can't do it without them.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, it's a fun trailer. Like I said, the TV show is always amazing. I think she might be one of the most, like, when it comes to Marvel history, or at least her part of it, she probably knows the most about the Marvel Universe than any actor that's ever done it.
Have you seen her, the pictures of her cosplaying as a character as a kid?
Yeah,
she wasn't an actress. Like, she had no previous acting experience whatsoever, and she was obsessed with the character.
Well, she had actually done some stuff before she played Ms. Marvel.
Huh.
Oh, she did?
Yeah.
I thought she was fresh out of the gate.
Oh, no. It's like, in fact, now I'm going to, while we're talking, I'm going to have to.
This show is sponsored by Google.
Well, no, you have to know this stuff here. I'm pulling all of this right out of my memory. But Iman Vellani, she had previously, let me see here.
She Pakistani or Indian descent?
I thought she was Pakistani.
Wow.
But don't quote me on that, please.
Like, I know the character is, but I don't want to just presume.
You shouldn't, trust me. No. We don't want to get in trouble.
No. But the interesting thing about her is that she's in an interview, and she explains which multiverse Marvel, like, the current MCU is.
Wow.
I forget what the argument, the discussion was. And someone said this is like the 1606 universe. And she goes, oh no, this is the 1999-99 universe.
Wow.
It's interesting, because wasn't it in Doctor Strange where they're talking about, like, this is technically 616?
Yeah.
And, like, that exactly. doesn't really make sense.
They actually took that back, because they mentioned then on Into the Spider-Verse, the trailer, where Miguel actually references the Marvel universe, the Marvel movie universe, by that, the number that the girl just gave. So, yeah.
Yeah, like, they are, like, she was dead on. Like, she was, like, she had quotes, numbers, dates. I'm like,
wow.
She did it, like I said, even beyond that, just how happy she was doing it was mm-hmm. great.
Well, think about it. You get to play
an infectious enthusiasm. No, I just got to interject this because apparently I was wrong. This was the first thing that she did, and I had been under the impression that she had. Yeah, well, no, hey, if I'm wrong, I'll admit it. But no, I had been under the impression that she did something else. But again, you know, the enthusiasm of the actress is just infectious, and it was one of the reasons that I really enjoyed that Ms. Marvel series on Disney Plus.
It was so good and so loyal to the comic too, while still being its own thing.
The only thing I didn't like about that miniseries was the bad guys. It's like this weird twist.
Oh, the djinn?
Yeah,
it's the first season. Like honestly, it's still an origin season, so I was like. Like second season, she can complain if they get a better villain. But she, you know, she has this, and then she goes to space with the Marvels. It's not a bad jump.
No, hey, not at all. But hold that thought just a second, because time to remind everybody that you're listening to Fantastic Forum on WERA 96.7 FM and streaming via WERA.FM. We are your community radio station. I'm Ulysses E. Campbell. I'm joined today by Camille Richardson, Roberto Ortiz, and Black Gorbachev, Philip Jean-Pierre. And I think I interrupted somebody. It was Philip or Camille. Camille, before I come back to you, because you know we started talking about we started talking about Ms. Marvel, and what I wanted to talk about was that trailer, you know, which was like, oh my god, the trailer was fire, you know. So but Roberto had mentioned that her family was there, and you know, see there again the natural enthusiasm of the character. Here's, you know, I keep wanting to call her Captain Marvel, Photon, or whatever in the hell they're calling Monica Rambeau now.
Oh, she's and she, Captain Marvel.
Well, but yeah. See, when you've got the other Captain Marvel who's there, it's kind of tough. It's like, how many Captain Marvels do we have?
She
you know?
Will be soon enough.
Well, in any case, but you've got the other Captain Marvel, Brie Larson, but all that to say, Nick Fury and Monica Rambeau show up at the girl's house, and they're like, okay, well, what are your powers? Oh, let me totally show you. And they're like, no! But before they can do that, she's done it, and here's Brie Larson, and they're like... And the mom is like, where is my daughter? You know, it's like, wherever she was, you know?
The thing I love most about those type of scenes in the trailers is... The best thing about those scenes is that you get like a normal family minding their own business, and then all of a sudden, like the MCU shows up at your door, and you just kind of go, "Yeah, that's the thing." And it's like you're allowed to freak out at that point.
Like Gandalf coming to Bilbo.
That's a really good observation. That's exactly like that.
That you're right.
Yeah, but the question is, do you think that now Disney has given the edict to Marvel Comics?
Where are you going with this? We were talking about the freaking trailer.
No, but that's the thing. But I mean, this is related to Marvel. I have a question. It's like, do you guys think that basically projects like the Marvels and Miss Marvel are going to be affected with this decision that Disney has made to make less?
That's not the trailer. that's taking us off somewhere. It's like, it's a very interesting question, I'll grant you, but. No, that's not because the other thing in the trailer, you know, how excited Iman Vellani is to be. She's like, are we a team?
Because
no, we're not a team.
Acting.
We're not a team.
She's not acting.
It's like Garfield, just like, I love you guys.
You realize she's not acting, right? It's like, if I got invited to the set of Star Trek, they would have to call security. Because I would be that excited.
That sounds about right.
So, that's me too, actually. I ain't gonna lie to you. Like, honestly, you put me either on a cast of Picard or Discovery, I will literally have to be escorted off the stage while literally holding onto the captain's chair.
Well, let me tell you, with this news of this Starfleet Academy series, I have been seriously trying to figure how I can get myself cast as a Starfleet instructor on this show.
I will literally help you do that, just to say I know someone on there.
Yes. But the problem is basically, how do you prevent people from stealing stuff from the set? Because I will be like, oh my god, I have a phaser in my hand. I have a real phaser in my hand. I have a real phaser in my hand going in my pocket.
The prop people collect all that stuff from you before you leave.
This like, is mine.
The prop people, the wardrobe people, you don't get paid if you don't turn the stuff back in. What?
Okay. I would find a way to steal in trouble. Not even going to lie to you.
Yeah,
like,
me too.
It's like 8,000. It's like 8,000 of them. Like they're gonna notice one missing.
Exactly. How would they know?
And they're breeding all the time. No, they keep records of this stuff. I mean, although if you're a guest coming to this, see, I'm talking about you're working on the thing. I mean, they keep. You know, in fact, they collect your frickin' identification. And you don't get your stuff back until you turn in all the wardrobe and props and all of that stuff. I mean, you know, and it's not like they just let you walk around with it. So
for Ulysses, back to the Marvel trailer, here is the one thing I have to ask, though.
Yeah.
I need to see the villain more, because I'm not going to lie to you. Aside from Thanos and Killmonger, I have been less than impressed with it. I'm sorry, and Kang, I have been less than impressed with a lot of these villains that Marvel has been throwing in, and like usually it's like Kang you got, Thanos fine, Killmonger, but by and large I need a new villain, because I'm not going to lie, Thor kind of let me down a little bit.
Oh, you think?
Who is the villain in this thing? I mean, I did they even show a villain? You know, I
part of the problem is basically that Marvel seems
to, all the good villains they usually, you know, kill off, so it's one and done.
That's a bad
thing. Or they don't portray him properly.
And only that, Camille, I have a problem specifically that Marvel does a lot of things of, oh, well, he has a point of view, what? Ever. I like the fact that Star Wars is acknowledging the fact that a bad guy can be unremittable, incompletely, and it can be just an awful person, and it's okay to be a bad guy. I mean, I like that concept.
Here's the thing I've always told you, we had this conversation. So here's the thing. You can have a villain with legitimate reason. It's his coping skills that make him a villain, and then you just go, that's a good point, but I'm gonna have to like have you get hit by a rock or thrown into a volcano because something's just wrong with your coping skills again.
Or how about this, the fact that the person might be a supremacist of some sort, or a person who basically have a completely screwed up set of beliefs that basically from his point of view, yes, my race is superior to yours.
Conversation will come up when we start talking about Ahsoka, just saying.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll come up if we talk Star Wars. It's just fascism.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, the whole thing I love about what they're doing in Star Wars with Thorn is that I love the fact that the Shadow Council is talking about him. And I would love.
We're just jumping in.
I just had to. I just
he's changing
to,
the subject.
I just need to ask one point.
I'm ready.
Do you really feel that he gives a crap that people are talking about him?
You know, I Roberto, I'm going to start asking you to host the show because the way that you're steering the conversation, it's like,
No, but that goes back to Marvel because I like the fact that in one hand, Star Wars seems to get the concept of what a bad guy is supposed to. Mm-hmm. That a bad guy don't necessarily has to be.
You brought it up.
Yeah.
So, but also, it doesn't seem like you might have some who are loyal to Thrawn, but it kind of seems like almost the majority of that Shadow Council is kind of like, but we could go our own way.
Wait a minute. All right, so are we talking about that last episode of The Mandalorian?
Yeah.
Or are we talking about the stuff that came out of Star Wars Celebration? Because, I suppose ultimately it all interconnects. Yes. So, but that being the case, okay. So before we get to that, another trailer that came out this week, and it was like one of the last ones that I saw, but it was apparently from Star Wars Celebration. The Star Wars Visions Volume 2.
Oh, my God, yes. Which, amazing.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. Which, I was really impressed with that Star Wars Visions Volume 1. And so the fact that they're revisiting this now, I love that. And although I what you're saying about this determination as far as villainy, I mean, I don't know. I mean, are the Star Wars villains really any worse?
Yes.
Look. Wanting to kill
a redeeming quality of the Emperor.
Wait a minute. I can't give you any redeeming quality to Thanos.
From his point of view.
Okay, wait. From the Emperor's point of view, he's not a bad guy.
No, the Emperor just wants to live forever. That's it. It's all about him.
Well, and he wants to control everything, too.
Yes!
You know?
Not for a good reason. It's just because...
It's not redeeming, but I'm sorry. Black Gorbachev, what were you saying?
So here's the thing about... And we're going to use Thrawn because he's pretty much the guy. Do not get me wrong. Thrawn is charming.
Yes.
He is lovely. And if you're at a dinner party with you, he is great. The problem is after he leaves dinner... He's going to literally massacre an entire planet just to maintain order. And I'm going to tell you right now.
And he's going to be drinking a nice wine while doing it. It's like, mm.
Well, but as it turns out, that's what you have to do to be able to maintain control.
But the cool thing about Thrawn as a character is that he doesn't need... He's the opposite of Moff Gideon. Moff Gideon has to show up, show off. Thrawn is like, okay, whatever, talk. Continue talking.
Here's the thing. Moff Gideon's a villain, but I can't take no Gideon slander right now because he had the best speech when he literally was like, where your man's at? Where you at?
And it was interesting, actually, to hear, I forget his ranking, but Hux.
Yeah.
And he's, like, fighting with him over it. And actually, a little Easter egg there. I mean, obviously, so that's going to be General Hux's father from the sequels. Mm-hmm. But it's also his the guy who plays Hux. That's actually his real life brother.
Yes, I know. Isn't that amazing? By the way, I have a suspicion of what they're going to do in the next episode, which has me concerned. You know how they
See, you're going again.
I know, but I know. Sorry, but it has to do with this mind flare. I wonder if they're going to introduce that again.
So here's the thing about that last episode that almost traumatized me. not like Kanan, but they
Don't start.
You know where I'm going.
Oh, by the way, if you have not seen the most recent episode of The Mandalorian, which aired last week, there will be spoilers.
So we don't care about you.
Let me just warn you that there will be spoilers, and you need to be aware of that.
The Emperor showed up. It was incredible.
Black Gorbachev, are you getting ready to reference that? Paz Vizsla,
no, I think.
Vizsla. Okay. No, not that one.
The fact that he won the nastiest death I've ever seen in Star Wars ever.
That was pretty bad, but that was amazing. So here's Bo-Katan.
All right, here we go.
If we've seen the Clone Wars, can we not agree she is a war criminal?
Because she was a part of Death Watch. And
But
the armorer said, which we finally had Death Watch dropped in this episode, and I still do not trust her. You know, they all broke off into different factions, and we know that Bo-Katan went off because she's like, I'm not serving Maul. There's no way I'm doing that. And so they broke off into different things. So then you had the super commandos with Maul, and then she went off from the Night Owls. But my biggest question, because we've talked Moff Gideon, when you see him in that new so-called Dark Trooper suit, why does he look like a Maul Commando Mandalorian?
Bingo. And why does the armorer has horns?
Dropped. I still don't trust the armorer, and I still think she's Rook Cass.
Maybe.
Yes.
But no, my Bo-Katan issue is...
Well, to be fair to Bo-Katan, if you...
Whoa. Let him talk.
That sorry attempt at a redemption where she apologizes? And I'm like...
I think they did a lot of favors to the characters in terms of character evolution for her, because if you stop to think about it, the guilt she must be feeling that A, she had to humiliate himself in front of Moff Gideon, and B, that it didn't matter, and that it caused the death of billions of her people, and she's thinking, this is freaking it in terms of my people.
They were already
Hold that thought for 1 second, because that musical cue means it's time for us to take a short break, because Fantastic Forum comes to you via WERA in Arlington, Virginia. We're a community radio station. We're non-commercial. We rely on the ongoing generosity of our underwriters, sponsors, and listeners like you to be able to continue to operate the radio station. Visit the website at WERA.FM or that of our parent organization, Arlington Independent Media, at arlingtonmedia.org. Find out how you can make your tax-deductible gift in support of community media today. It'll make you feel better, and it's tax-deductible, which is always a great thing. So, Roberto and Philip and Camille and I are going to pause momentarily to observe some promos for other WERA programs that are coming up. But stick around, because we're going to be back with more Fantastic Forum right after that. And we're going to continue our discussion about what came out of Star Wars Celebration and this most recent episode of The Mandalorian, and the fact that there's only one show left, and it's going to be a heck of a thing. So anyway, that's what we're talking about in the second half of the show. Stick around, because we'll be right back. And welcome back to the Fantastic Forum here on WERA 96.7 FM in Arlington, Virginia, and streaming via WERA.FM. Radio Arlington. I'm Ulysses E. Campbell. I'm joined today by Philip Jean-Pierre, also known as Black Gorbachev, Roberto Ortiz, and Camille Richardson. And when we took the break, we had been talking about the broader Star Wars universe, but we were talking specifically about the events of the episode of The Mandalorian, which just aired last week and had some really dramatic kinds of stuff that happened at the end of that show, particularly involving the return of a known character, Moff Gideon, who we had been hearing about, and the the Shadow Council on which Gideon sits, and also talking about the return of a villain that was introduced in some of the Star Wars, expanded universe literature. Yeah, Grand Admiral Thrawn, who also was a major character on the animated Star Wars Rebels.
He's kind of like the Clarence Thomas of Star Wars, if you stop to think about it.
How is he like the Clarence Thomas of Star Wars?
That is a stretch, my friend.
Thinking that, but I'm waiting for Roberto to back
this
up.
Think about it. He happens to be an alien in an empire that's based off humans. And he's the only one...
That's mighty thin so far.
He's one of the few aliens who actually made it all the way up to the higher... echelons of command in terms of the Empire. So he must be really bad.
That was always the question I had about Thrawn that always felt curious that Timothy Zahn never answered. I always wondered, did he actually make it that far, or did he give himself a promotion when the Empire failed?
Well, the Empire's over. That's a good point.
I got my ship. I'm on a ship. My captain's there. Guess who's there?
Well, especially depending on how the captain of the ship got dead, you know, that would be a thing.
I would not put it past him. So, also, can I just say, I'm already in Lars Mikkelsen's corner, whose cast is Admiral Thrawn,
yes.
Because the amount of pressure that has, although he's done the voice, so it's not that, but the amount of pressure on him to actually be this character. It's huge, and honestly, it's not like he can't do it, but, you know, the expectations of fans versus someone's actual talent, sometimes they do not meet, and they tend to have unreasonable expectations.
He's played the character before, so that helps.
No, that's the thing, so it does help.
And also, you gotta think, the hardcore Thrawn people probably have watched Rebels just for the fact he was in it.
And he's great. Don't get me wrong. He's a wonderful actor. I think he will do a great job. Fans.
I just love the fact that Filoni basically got away with murder, that every single character he introduces in animation, he's making sure he has a live action
Well, they're great characters, and I think since the introduction of these characters, there's been a great anticipation, and not just since from the introduction of the characters, but once Disney started doing these live action shows, that's what Ahsoka Tano is. I mean, you know, I being an old time Star Wars guy, you know, I had no idea before I started watching Clone Wars. Oh, Anakin got a Padawan? It's like, well, that makes perfect sense. But if you stop, and I know plenty of people.
Gave Obi-Wan a heart attack?
But I know plenty of people who basically only know of the films and some of the expanded universe stuff. But they don't know about Ahsoka Tano. They don't know. In fact, I'll tell you what, after that trailer came out last week, I had to go back and rewatch that episode of The Mandalorian Into the Jedi, where she was, down the warlord and, you know, trying to find out where Thrawn was. But I mean, and I'll tell you what, that trailer for Ahsoka, I mean, in addition to showing all of these Rebels characters, which I'm like, me Hera, you're showing me Sabine Wren, you're showing me Chopper, Ezra. You
know? And also, you can
like, if Chopper doesn't murder a bunch of people, like, it'll be disappointing. No one's ready for what that little man can do.
But the thing is that if you actually pay attention to...
Whoa, hold on. Black Gorbachev, what were you saying?
55,000 kills.
What?
19 wrecks.
Really?
He enables that he happens to be in the place where they die. That does not make Chopper a murderer. That is just, you know what?
He's a war criminal. Can we just say that?
That's what I said. Only 19 of them are direct.
Okay, actually, who's worse, him or no? R2-D2 is worse. If you stop to think about it,
it's a violent, violent show. What can I tell you?
R2-D2 was on the X-wing that blew up the Death Star. So,
well, yeah, but he was deactivated by that time. I mean, he had zero to do outside of R2, that stabilizer is broken loose again. See if he can lock it down. R2 did nothing.
How about that start?
He was a backseat pilot. How can you blame the backseat pilot?
You can't. That's the point.
The police would say he was accessory to murder.
Droid. No, droids can't be accessories.
That's how they get away with it.
I mean, R2 was there when, you know, all the younglings got killed. I mean, he also went through a lot. So when he ended up on Mustafar, and Anakin tells him, like, yo, stay with the ship, and he doesn't see Anakin again, then we see him over on Dagobah, and Luke says, stay with the ship. You better believe that boy is not staying with the ship.
Well, but when, all right, those are, and yes, interesting analogy, but those are two different situations only because, you know, all right, one, you're on Coruscant at the Jedi Temple, a lot more people. On Dagobah, there was nobody for Luke to kill, you know? It's like, that stay with the ship, it's like, yeah, I'm going off with Yoda, although I don't know he's Yoda. And in a heck, as it turns out, Luke didn't understand any of those bleeps and stuff. He had to be looking at the screen to figure out what the heck R2 was saying.
Can you imagine the conversation R2 had with 3PO? After Anakin basically went to the temple, I think, oh my God, the master went nuts. He killed a whole bunch of children.
That must have been a heck of a thing.
3PO gets mind wiped a few times. But
for a good reason. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, I mean, he's the epitome of anxiety, but I don't think R2 ever gets himself wiped.
No.
He's just like the OG and just keeps all the secrets.
Yeah, well, you know, when your language is a bunch of whistles and stuff like that, it's like beeps. That's not hard, you know?
Oh, can I circle back? Go ahead.
I was
going
to say, speaking of death, can we talk about my man Paz now, please?
Who? Oh, Paz Vizsla.
Well, wait. Before we get to that, Camille, what was it you were going to say?
I just wanted to circle back to one thing that was just coming off on a point earlier, but... So, you know how I was saying about the armor again, and that
we saw
helmet, which is very, very, it's also red and black, mind you. But if you think about it, the episode is called The Spies, which is plural. Mm-hmm. The only spy that we see is Ilya Kane talking to the
There might be an explanation from the Bible. Because one analysis that I heard is that when Moses, when Joshua got to the promised land, he sent a delegation from the the tribes of Israel and in the Bible they call them the spies that basically check the promised land. So
I don't know if they're going that deep.
Yeah, but
that would be deep. So you're saying they were all spies because they were going to Mandalore that's a little obscure.
I took it in a different way that it could also be the
armor. It depends. I could be completely wrong. It could be that the armor happens to be. I'm pretty sure it's going to be that there's a spy, but if there's not, I'll just give you an explanation.
I mean, honestly, it wouldn't make sense for the armor, except honestly.
Why?
I can't figure out the reason. Yeah, I can't figure out reason.
Well, because she's so flipping mysterious. Like, I never trusted her from day one.
I'm not supposed to give you a reason. I am just a character created for exposition.
She has a lot of, like, power within her covert. And, I mean, they kind of look to her almost as, like, the matron almost, you know?
She is.
But she made Grogu a little jacket.
Can we talk about IG-12? Can we please talk about IG-12 and how this child is ruining
Can you imagine how the droids look at that? God, you're defiling his body. Oh, my God.
He's a droid. You can't defile him.
No, repeatedly was one of the best moments I think Grogu's ever done.
Oh, my God. You know, if there's
they made Grogu a mech pilot. Really?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Well, but I tell you what, though, Black Gorbachev, I'm sensitive to you wanting to circle back to, Paz Vizsla. Yeah, you know,
I will give them credit. They take this one random obscure character from the first season who just looks great in the background, and both of them, Dave and John, go, he's cool. Give him a whole backstory in this third season.
And a kid.
And a kid who gets kidnapped by a dinosaur.
And then literally
have him get killed by three Sith Lords. I forget the exact term.
Patron guards.
But also, he's from House Vizsla. Yes. So, I mean, that has a long history.
The fact that he supported, what's her name? The new leader of Mandalore.
Bo-Katan.
It's a big deal because of the relationship between her and the clan. It has been back and forth.
Here's the thing that gets me, though. He literally kills every Imperial soldier. You think, he's going to make it. And then those three show up.
Yeah.
The ones from Last Jedi. Yeah.
I'm sitting there going...
Yeah, Praetorian Guard.
It was really nice knowing you.
But that other, just that connection again, and especially since we did drop Death Watch again in this episode, Paz Vizsla is from House Vizsla, and that means he's related to Pre Vizsla, who was the leader of Death Watch. So again, and they call themselves the Children of the Watch. Like, I don't know. I can't keep going. But keep going back to that.
Can I tell you a horrible theory that occurred to me when he died in there? You know how the Empire likes cloning and they like to build clone armies?
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if basically they decide to clone the body of Paz Vizsla to make super soldiers.
Well, that would be interesting, it sounds like they need you writing for them because whatever they come.
Like another Jango Fett kind of situation.
Yeah.
That means that there's precedent.
I don't know about that.
That there's precedent because they seem to like Mandalorians for a reason. So.
Well, they like their armor and their equipment, and they like the planet.
I love the fact that Moff Gideon is basically.
Exactly. If
cultural appropriation was a bad guy, it's like, I'm cool appropriating your culture. You have an awesome culture. I'm going to genocide you and just keep the aspect of cultures I like.
No, what were you going to say?
Moff Gideon said he doesn't really care about cloning. Like, that's not his thing. The doctor, he doesn't care about cloning because he doesn't
That's true.
Work.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
He's like he's about making him somebody. He just wants to make his soldiers basically impervious to anything.
Because he wants to be the new emperor. Duh.
Well, that's Yeah, but that's where the Beskar and all the other stuff comes in, because whatever you got to say about the Mandalorians, they're extremely well equipped, and I that was one thing that was fascinated me about that episode with Jack Black and Lizzo, because the whole reason that they wanted them was, oh, your culture. You know, this displaying weapons and the armor, that's all a part of your culture, right? So it was cool for them to walk around on this planet that wasn't supposed to have any weapons, you know? And I was like, yeah, you know, so again...
It's my religion.
The whole, yeah, exactly. And because of the Mandalorians' culture and their dedication to that martial philosophy, it makes perfect sense that Moff Gideon would then decide, hey, yeah, I mean, because it's not simple cultural appropriation, you know, like, oh, I like you. Well, I like the way y'all wear your hair.
It's pretty ancient culture, too, because they weren't that way for quite some time, especially during the Clone Wars being basically Switzerland. So, I mean, that's why we had the terrorist organization of Death Watch, which was trying to bring the old, old ways back. So it is quite ancient, but you know, obviously there are many songs and tales and all of that, and they have not died yet.
Oh, by the way, Camille, do you think they're doing something with Din and Bo-Katan?
I hope not.
That'd be kind of creepy. I ain't gonna lie to you. That'd be creepy.
Yeah, why? He doesn't strike me like that either.
True, but someone told me who has more Star Wars knowledge than I do that they might be playing her to that she does not bat for that team. So
let's see what happens.
Well, because the other thing is,
I'm cool whatever way she wants to go, but I don't really want a romance between those two.
Well, and it doesn't actually make any sense, based on what they've shown you so far, because he's beholden to her. I think he has a certain level of loyalty to her. And he feels in, yeah, well, yeah, and he feels indebted to her, and you know, none of that adds up to. You know, oh, I want to sleep with you. You know, I mean, that's, you know, that, yeah. In fact, it seems like that would contradict this whole idea that, at least from what they've shown of, Din Djarin, you know.
By the way, how's the logistics of that? If she's a Mandalorian, I'm a Mandalorian, do they both have to wear my helmets?
The helmet never comes off, period.
Well,
exactly, because remember, there's some weird religious zealot remnant of like Death Watch in some weird way, and it might be mixed with foundling stuff, but it's not like true Mandalorian way from at least, that we've learned from Clone Wars and Rebels.
I mean, I will give them credit, like starting back from Clone Wars through Rebels to now, they have literally basically fleshed out the Mandalorians. From one scene in Return of the Jedi.
Yep, pretty much.
Like one moment, and don't get me wrong, I'm excited for it because I enjoy it. But it is really nice to see them build like an entire, like, you get to see them build in society, even though, not the Mandalorian, but can we get back to the spy? And the fact that the thing I enjoy most about Star Wars is that they'll do like their space piratey stuff, and then all of a sudden they'll do a scene that looks just out of Blade Runner.
It's somebody did a side by side, and it's like, it's there.
Yeah. Of course, it's like on Blade Runner, and it's 100%.
Yeah,
but it's the thing I love most about Star Wars is that you get different cultures, and this is the issue I've always had with Marvel Universe. All the sci-fi stuff looks exactly like no matter where you are. On Star Wars, though, if you go to a different planet.
But to be fair, one of the things I like about Star Wars is also that they're not afraid to throw in the weird. It's like, for example, they're in Mandalore and all of a sudden Godzilla shows up. It's like, what the hell?
Well, I think that's something that people lose sight of. It's like, think about the name. It's Star Wars. It's affecting an entire galaxy. All kinds of different species, all kinds of different races, you name it. I mean, there's a reason why they refer to the Outer Rim and all of that. I mean, this is not just affecting the Skywalkers. This is not just affecting a few folks along the way that we've followed. It's affecting every single living being in that galaxy, except for maybe on Dagobah.
Well, but this was part of the reason... Yeah, but this was part of the reason why, and again, as somebody who was there, this is part of the reason why Empire Strikes Back became so popular. Yeah, well, I can't help it. I'm an old guy. But this is part of the reason that was so popular. It was nothing like the first movie. It was nothing like it. In fact, they went the exact opposite. It's like, oh, bad guys lose in the first movie. Oh, bad guys basically win in the second movie.
Well, they didn't know there was going to be a second movie.
Yeah, you know, well, but you're on a desert planet in the first movie. Oh, we're on an ice planet in the second movie. I mean, this is, you know, it's a lot of the stuff. Oh, the big battle scene, it's at the end of the first movie. Big battle scene at the beginning of the second movie. I mean, there was all this stuff they did that was like literally the opposite of other stuff that they had done. And it was embraced because, again, it was different. It's like, what? And we got excited because it's like, oh boy, they're showing us different stuff before basically the third movie where they rehash everything. Oh, we're going back to Tatooine? What? Why are we doing that? You know,
but one thing people don't give enough credit to Lucas is that for all his faults, and there are many, holy crap, he's really good at world building. He's a huge nerd because he just sits down and thinks it through. How would this culture be like? How would the Jedi be like? And he did a fantastic job in terms of setting up the rules of the universe and the world building he set up for the universe. And he stuck with the rules in terms of the whole saga. If you stop to think about it, it's like this, in his own way, makes sense. This is why you can build so much out of Star Wars, because the foundation is solid. The mythos are solid. There's things that basically could be.
I don't know.
Camille? What do you think?
You might want to include his wife in that one.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
The wife had a great deal to do with it, and she made a lot of changes.
Yes.
And
yeah.
Actually,
and then when she was gone, that was a problem.
Well, yes.
You
know? Yes. But well, also, he needed person. I'll give you that, yes.
Well, he needed an editor.
She was the editor.
He needed a screenwriter. He needed a director. He can't do those things. He's not allowed to do those things.
The problem was that he wasn't interested in telling these stories. He was interested in advancing filmmaking.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And
he did.
Yes, he did.
Holy crap, did he ever.
Yeah, he did, but he kind of got lucky
with a bunch of this stuff. Thank Lucas. If you use After Effects, thank Lucas. If you basically use computer graphics, thank Lucas.
Yeah, but if, you were just talking him up about world building. You want to talk about world building, let's talk about Frank Herbert. You're not George Lucas.
You know,
there are a lot of people who I think are better with the world building.
No, Dune is... It's in a complete different zip code. Dune is Dune. Good God, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, and I'll ride George Lucas's jock, but not for that.
But the thing is that, if you're going to copy, at least you're...
Philip,
about all of that people forget. You can have all the greatest pictures, you can have all the greatest visual effects, if you don't have a story that makes sense, which is what Marshall Lucas brought to that all you really get is a really nice slideshow. You can have all the world building you want, but if there's not a story that makes sense, that people can get invested in, scenes are cut to make it still the story go faster and go where it's supposed to, no one's going to care about those images. You can have all the VFX.
That's something that cracks me up, because you know how many people they'll get their panties in a twist over the fact of Kenobi, the Disney show, it now changes the canon, and now it makes the original trilogy not make sense, and it's stupid, and it's like, bro, do you not remember that the original trilogy broke its own canon several times?
They have brother and sister kissing each other, and we're cool with that.
Well, yeah, I remember mother. She was beautiful and kind. You don't remember Squall, and I gave you to Bail Organa. You don't remember Squall.
Yeah, so,
don't get me wrong, they both come hand in hand. Visual effects, yes. But the storyteller, which I think does not get enough credit for making everything work. You don't love, granted, Return of Jedi is its own thing, but Empire Strikes Back still holds as probably one of the best sci-fi stories.
Yeah.
And stories, not visual effects, best story. Really? Because when Darth Vader says, "I'm your father," you fall out of your chair, you get mad because Boba Fett kidnaps Han Solo. And by the way, the fact that everyone wants Boba Fett, even though he is a terrible person, tells you how good that story was. The fact that Lando sells them out and needs a redemption arc in the third movie.
First all the time.
Literally, That is the heart of storytelling in Empire.
Yeah, Lee Brackett. Lee Brackett did a hell of a job.
Yeah, and you're sitting there just going, "Oh my."
Won't you join us for dinner? I mean, that's why Boba Fett became, you know, everybody's.
The weird thing is that I, you know what's kind of depressing? I had a couple of 20 teenagers in my office. I mentored them sometimes. And I had a Mr. Potato of Boba Fett. And the kid asked me, is that Jango Fett? And it's like, oh my God, I'm old.
Well, they look a lot alike.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Well, like I said, Lee Brackett did a hell of a job. Now, great, Black Gorbachev, what are you saying there?
Oh, no, I'm not going to lie, I was going to talk to you about the Penguin trailer, but I don't think we have time for that.
No, we don't. In fact, sadly, we're out of time as it is. I'd like to thank my panelists and you, too, for tuning in. Of course, Fantastic Forum is also a television show. You can check that out if you happen to live in Montgomery County, or you can visit the website at fantasticforum.tv. We've got complete episodes of the show. We've also got various segments broken out. The show... radio show, actually, re-airs each and every Sunday from 4 to 5 p.m. right here on WERA. The radio show is also available as a podcast on the platforms where you can find all your favorite podcasts. Download it, take it with you, and we're back in first run each and every Saturday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m. We hope you come along with us for another great ride next week, because I plan to be live, and of course... We've got this Picard season finale that's coming up next week. We didn't talk anything about Star Trek this week. The Star Wars stuff completely overwhelmed that. I kind of want to see how Picard is going to end and really looking forward to that. And so, maybe we'll talk a little bit about that, or we might just give it an extra week. We'll have to see. But hopefully you will enjoy the rest of your weekend. Stay safe. And come back again, same bat time, same bat station.